Hi, this is John Ballantyne of Campfire Radio Theater. You're listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast.
It's the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matthew. Some might say the more handsome, more talented one. Others might say that that's like two bald men fighting over a comb, but we'll leave that there. This is the podcast covering all things audio drama production. And on this episode, I'm very excited to present a household name in modern online audio drama, Tanya Milojevic, someone who appears in probably more audio dramas than I've ever listened to in my life. Someone that I really look up to and have wanted to chat to for a long time, and I'm very pleased that that did take place. Got a bit of a funny story that I'll share with you after the interview, but let's not hold things up anymore. We'll dive straight into the chat with Tanya.
Hi, my name is Tanya Milojevic, and I've been voice acting now for 6 years. Ever since my senior year of high school, when I was introduced to audio drama through my local library. I've been all over the place, sort of auditioned on Voice Acting Alliance to start with, and then moved over to Audio Drama Talk and found tons of independent audio companies out there, like Pendant, Broken Sea, obviously Edict Zero, and a lot of independent podcasters had casting calls somewhere on their website or through the mainstream websites like Audio Drama Talk. So I started getting involved. I'm right now a graduate student at the University of Massachusetts Boston, studying to be a teacher of the visually impaired and a vision rehab therapist. So that's probably another year. I have another year to go. I graduated undergrad from Simmons and have a bachelor's in English and a minor in communications and special ed.
Tanya, welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. Brilliant to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm a huge fan, as is everyone in audio drama, a huge fan of yours. So
Thank you.
Great to get you on at last. And you spoke a bit about getting into audio drama there, but let's just take a closer look at that. You know, how did you get into it, and what were your sort of first steps into the world of audio drama?
Initially, I borrowed an audiobook, what I thought was an audiobook at the time, from my local library. It was on tape, so, I mean, those of us who remember what tapes are. I borrowed actually Stephen King's Pet Sematary and A Tale of Two Cities. Both of them were dramatized by BBC. Once I heard those recordings, I was hooked and tried to figure out where I could get a hold of more audio drama, which my first stop was my local library through, and this was in high school. So before probably 2007 through 2009, I sort of introduced myself to more and more content, did some internet research and found, besides BBC and Big Finish and all the mainstream companies that put out tons of audio drama content as well as audio books, I found independent producers like Broken Sea Audio Productions, Pendant, 19 Nocturne Boulevard, just the main companies that we all in the community have heard of one way or another, and started auditioning. I got my own microphone. The first microphone I had was like a $20 cheap knockoff from Best Buy, and it was pretty bad. And then I started asking around other audio producers that I knew, friends, which microphones were better. Eventually got a condenser mic. That didn't work so well because it would condense a little bit too much, even if it was an XLR to eighth inch input. So obviously I was using my computer sound card at the time and it wasn't the best quality. But a few years down the road, I ended up getting a Bluebird microphone, a nice setup for a preamp sound card that was external USB, plugged it into my computer, and I got a much better sound that way. And then now I have like a makeshift home studio that I've, with the help of family, created and use pretty much whenever I record.
So in those early days, like, did you have any acting experience, or was this all new to you, doing the voice acting?
I had some acting experience through my high school theater group, but that was more, all of those exercises that we did and focused on was more visual acting, and they would talk about how you're supposed to conduct yourself on stage and how to make certain that the audience in the back can hear you, use your stage voice, talked a lot about how you're supposed to exaggerate your facial expressions, body language, turn angle toward the audience. And so really, it didn't give me a lot of voice acting tips or tricks. What I did to learn more about that was I asked fellow audio drama producers, and I listened to tons and tons of audio drama, like I said, that I could get my hands on. Sort of learned as I went. I took constructive criticism and tried to improve. And of course, from the beginning, I tried to make the characters as natural as possible.
What sort of things are you thinking about when you're trying to bring a character to life? What sort of things are you trying to achieve, and how do you go about doing that?
I think a lot about what motivates the character and maybe what the background is, what the past experiences that person might have had would be. A lot of the time, if I'm not really sure how something should be conducted or acted out, I will ask the producer or the writer, and or provide them with multiple takes, especially if I'm not sure what they're going for in the script. If the character doesn't really have that much of a background, but I'm told by the producer or actor or writer that I can then create my own story for the character, I sort of try to come up with a few points and personality things to explain certain personality traits that I can use in the process of recording to make the character more believable. So I just try to think about what their motivation is, what experiences might be influencing their decisions or their reactions, and make it as natural as possible, because we know that when we speak, no one is going to say everything perfectly 100%. There's going to be hesitation, pauses, you know, maybe in awkward areas, ad-libs. So I try to include all that when recording.
As a voice actor, do you prefer to have like really, really comprehensive notes and character backgrounds from the writer or producer? Or do you rather have the blank canvas of you're just getting the lines and it's kind of up to you as to what you do with them?
I can do either or. I don't really have a preference on that one, because I feel like it's up to the writer and the producer and the director, if that's different people, to make their own decision on how they want that information from the actors. It's not, I mean, I feel like I can do either equally. So if I don't have any direction, I can come up with something and then make sure that's what the writer or producer is going for. If I have the comprehensive notes, I don't really have to think about it. I just use what's written there and record my part. But I honestly think that's really up to whoever is producing the project to decide what they would prefer.
And what about your recording process when you've planned to record a script or record some lines? What's the sort of hours leading up to it? What preparations do you do and things like that?
I usually don't need that much preparation time. I like to read the script beforehand in its entirety, so I have an idea of where the character is going in that episode or in that audio drama specifically, what's going to happen. That way, when I'm looking at certain scenes, I can have the correct reaction, or even maybe like a foreshadowing sort of. That way, when the audience listens to it later, they can see that there is a connection with that scene and the future scene in some way. So I like to read it ahead of time. If it's a lot of lines, a long process, or maybe if there are several different emotions that are going to be needed for that script, I will set aside a chunk of time, at least like 3 hours, to conduct the recording session. If it's a shorter script, there aren't many lines or if it's a minor role, then I don't need all that much time, like maybe half an hour, 15 minutes, really depends. But in terms of actually getting the equipment ready, getting myself ready to record, it doesn't take that long, maybe 5 minutes.
And do you get much problems in your area with cars, lawnmowers, planes, anything like that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, constantly. If I know that there's going to be heavy construction going on that day, I just don't record. So a lot of the times I have to tell people in the household, okay, guys, I'm recording. Don't vacuum. Don't turn on the blender, whatever you're doing. Don't do it because I want to get this done. I don't want there to be background noise. And there are planes going overhead constantly because there's an airport like 10 minutes from my house. And it can get really annoying. So, you know, you stop, you wait for it to go by, record, and then there's a motorcyclist. So it's definitely a challenge sometimes because I live right in the middle of an industrial area of the city.
Really selfish people going on holiday when Edict Zero needs their lines recorded. They should ground flights for that, to be honest.
They should. I agree. They should just stop everything and just give everyone a day off and make them stay home. Like, completely shut down, you know, state of emergency for the entire nation.
I
think that would be so
day.
Helpful. That would be super helpful.
So you mentioned visual impairment and being visually impaired yourself. Does this lead to you doing some things differently from other voice actors, do you think?
I would say that the visual impairment, it allows me to thrive in audio drama because I can focus on the voice pattern, making sure that different characters have different patterns of speech. I don't want to sound the same for every character, of course, you know, no one does. And focusing on emoting only through the voice because I don't have to worry with audio drama about meeting the mark or certain facial expressions, body language, or even whether or not I appear physically according to the specifications of the character. So as we all know, every audio drama producer knows that you can use your imagination and go beyond, above and beyond in terms of who you play as a character than you would with a stage production or TV or, you know, anything visual that's a visual project. So I think that really allows me to thrive in the audio drama sense. And in terms of reading lines, I wouldn't say that I read it any differently than anyone. I just use like Braille, for example, and I've found ways to cut down on any noise since I use a Braille note taker called a Braille Note Apex. It's like a personal data, or it's like a PDA, like a small computer. It has a Braille display and there are advanced bars. So every time you get to the end of the 40 cells that are on the bottom of the machine, you press the advanced bar to read the next line. So I found ways to disguise the noise of the advanced bar, or even like I'll pause and advance it and then take out that second of noise later. So there are ways to get around it. I've also read with a paper copy of Braille. You can just print out the entire script in Braille and do it that way. So I've done both. Other than that, I wouldn't say there are really any differences.
Looking at the sort of the community, you know, the visually impaired and blind community, is audio drama as popular as it really should be in that community or those communities? And is there more we could do to reach people with this form of entertainment that's really suited to them?
A lot of people do listen to audio drama and have heard of it. They mainly gravitate toward commercial audio drama, like the old-time radio that's heavily advertised through different apps, like for your iPhone. And then archive.org has several free audio dramas that were done in like the 70s, 60s, etc. And then there are BBC audio dramas that people get a hold of. Unfortunately, a lot of, I would say, blind and visually impaired audiences don't have as much access or don't know where to find the independently produced audio drama. And that's probably just because they haven't done enough research. I don't think it's a lack of advertisement online, or it's very easy to find it online. And it's easy to navigate all of those websites with a screen reader. So that's not the problem. It's mainly just lack of awareness. A lot of Facebook groups obviously now are present that are promoting it, and that's helping, since a lot of people go on Facebook and Twitter to check out what's going on. But a huge percentage does listen to audio drama. Some people prefer movies or TV shows because maybe they've had their vision earlier in life and that's just the medium that they're used to. But it really depends on the individual and how much they're willing to do research.
And what about looking towards people who are looking to get into audio drama as voice actors but haven't really done that much, have not got very much experience at the moment? What tips would you have for them as they move into getting involved?
Well, mainly the tips that I found are helpful are just try to get a decent microphone that doesn't have too much hiss or hum. Recording software is easy to obtain, free software like Audacity. That's completely usable, and obviously Mac users have GarageBand installed already, so that's easy. Besides having like a good microphone, you want to be receptive toward constructive criticism. Obviously, no one wants to just get criticized and have no positive feedback or any suggestions as to improvement, but constructive criticism is always good, and it's important to keep in mind when you're trying to portray different characters and educate yourself on different maybe accents or how to do a different type of speech pattern. It's good to listen to other audio dramas out there and maybe find someone you can look up to who has a wide range of abilities, or even someone you can speak with that records regularly for audio drama. There are several blogs, or not even just blogs, there are podcasts that teach you and walk you through the steps of becoming a better voice actor. I know Julie Hoverson did a really good one for a long time that she put out on 19 Nocturne Boulevard, so that's a good place to listen. Let's see. Sorry, I'm just looking at my... So it's also good, as I said earlier, to try to sound as natural as possible when recording. So if you're reading a script and maybe the director or writer didn't include react to getting punched, for example, SFX reaction to getting punched, it's logical to assume that if it says in the sound effects that your character gets punched in the face, you should probably include some sort of reaction noise. And even extra breathing or even some sort of extra reaction noise throughout the scene that you could think of to include, most producers will appreciate, unless they specifically tell you they don't want that, which is obviously then you would respect whatever they choose to do. There are tools out there, YouTube being a good example, where you can find videos or audio files of different accents, different voice coaches teaching accents and inflection and where you would want to be focusing, whether it's the front of your mouth, the back of your mouth, etc. So learning accents is good for you because you'll have more to offer people, and it can be done at your own pace. It's good to provide more than one take when recording and or ask the director or writer for more direction if you're not sure. It's always good to ad lib and just make sure you're on the right track, especially if you're new and you want tips. You can even ask for critiques on auditions. A lot of people are nice enough to do that. And then if you have some experience and you want to come up with a demo, there are several resources online where you can find character demos, examples of them. Like Voice Acting Alliance has several. Almost every user that I've seen has a demo. And it's good to update those every once in a while, as well as have like a voice acting resume that you can show to people when auditioning. That will kind of give them an idea of what your voice range is, what equipment you use, and what projects you've been involved in. And they can hear some work that you've obviously completed. So those are some tips. And I mean, there's tons more I could talk about, but that's just the basics.
Have there been any particular roles that you've voiced over the years that have been a real hard challenge for you, do you think?
Some challenging roles that I've done, let's see, There was a role that I had. I played like a vampire in an audio game, and I was on Skype with the producer, the developer, and they would give me direction, but they didn't really know what they wanted specifically. And so it was a little bit more difficult to try to give them what they were looking for when they weren't really sure exactly where they were going with it, with the character itself. But eventually with enough takes and enough adjusting the sound of the line, I came up with a good range for them to use for the game. So it worked out. It was just, it makes it a little more difficult if the producer doesn't really know exactly what they're looking for.
Tanya, thanks very much for chatting to us. It's been great to catch up with you. And where can the listener look out for you online?
I have a radio drama podcast. It's called Lightning Bolt Theater of the Mind. That can be found at lightningbolt.podbean.com.
Thanks very much to Tanya Milojevic there. It really was great to sit down and have that conversation with her. And it did remind me beforehand of a story. This is a bit obscure, but in the 90s in Scotland, there was a really great footballer called Brian Loudrop, who played for Rangers. And one of the sports reporters, Jim White, who now works down in London for Sky, at the time he interviewed Brian Loudrop, and he was obviously very, very starstruck when he sat down to talk to him. And his opening question was, "Brian, why are you so brilliant?" And you just saw Brian Loudrop kind of taken aback because he didn't quite know what to say. And when I was thinking about some questions to ask Tanya, I had to try really hard not to open with that question because it could have got pretty awkward for her, and that's not what I wanted to do. So hope you enjoyed that as much as I did, and we really look forward to hearing what she's up to in the future. Now elsewhere, I did mention a few weeks ago that we had some problems with the media host where we were hosting all of our audio dramas, including Aftermath, our 2-season post-apocalyptic series. And I've now sat down and moved all of these shows, all of the self-contained stories and all of Aftermath, over to a new feed at Libsyn, and that's where we host this podcast. We like them a lot, and it made sense to do that because basically people could only really download them, all these shows, for the first week of each month. And when you put a lot of time and effort into making audio drama, that's not a great return, only having that limited availability. And that was due to bandwidth. You know, I think we had 25 gigabytes worth of storage, and that was getting eaten up in the first week of each month. So we've moved all that over to a new feed. You could find links to that in the show notes if you've not heard any of the stuff that we've made before, or you could go to audiodramaproduction.com/audiodrama. You'll find links to the RSS feed, the iTunes directory, and things like that. And, you know, setting this new feed up, it was in my mind that that's another cost to add to, you know, the payments that we're making already to keep the show running and keep the website running. And I woke up in the morning to an email from Patreon and was pleasantly surprised to read in that email that great friend of the show and all-round good guy Austin Beach had pledged a generous monthly amount to the podcast. And that actually means that due to Austin, we're covering the costs of moving all those episodes over. So we've got Austin to thank for having all this audio drama now available for the whole month instead of just the first week of each month. So big, big thanks to Austin for doing that. Very generous guy. And I think it's fair to say, arise, Sir Austin. And finally on this week's show, I just wanted to really thank you because your nominations, we asked for nominations recently in the UK Podcasters Awards, and very humbled to hear last week that we've actually been put through to the finals of the Performing Arts category. So big thanks to you for nominating us. It was very kind of you to do that. You can now vote for us, I'm pleased to say, and I hope you'll take a minute to do that. It would really mean a lot. I'm always wary that we're asking too much of you, but, you know, we do feel that this podcast, you know, it's one of our core aims to keep pushing the audio drama medium into the sphere of the wider podcasting community. We're very passionate about doing that. And, you know, we are aware that when people discover the show, this show, and they're asking questions about what audio drama is, they're very receptive to new content as podcast listeners, and they're looking for new audio drama content. And that means that, you know, shows that you like, shows you've been involved in, shows you've created, and we hope we can bring these new listeners into the medium, and when they're looking for content, your show can benefit from that as well. We all can with all the shows we're creating, and as a community we could move forward together. So to vote for us in this award, and as nice as it would be for us personally to win it, and by the way, we're up against two absolutely excellent podcasts, so we're under no illusions as to how easy that'll be. But if you could take a minute out your day to nip on to the link, and the link to that will be in the show notes. You don't have to be based in the UK. You don't have to be from the UK. You don't even have to sign up or register to vote. You just click through and vote for us. And if we could compete with these other two fantastic podcasts, the Comedians Comedian podcast and the Old Time Movie and Old Time Radio Show, Attaboy Clarence, which I just actually listened to last week there, and it's phenomenal, exceptional production. I haven't heard the Comedian one yet, but I've heard some great things about it. So very difficult challenge, but you know, as a medium and with you behind us, we are quietly confident that we might be able to have an impact here, and we would hope that we can serve the audio drama community, you know, regardless of the outcome, and we're trying to push audio drama into that space, as we say. So if you can get on there and give us a vote, hugely appreciated. High fives, kisses, hugs, whatever you need in return, I'll be there to give it to you. Right, that's just about it for this week. If you've sent an email in recently to podcast@audiodramaproduction.com, don't worry, we're not ignoring you. We will get back to the emails when normal service resumes next week. In the meantime, please use said email address to send in any comments, suggestions, proposed topics, etc. Even just to let us know that you've voted, and we can give you a wee thanks for that. Right, have a good week. We will reconvene in 7 days. Keep recording, keep producing, keep writing, keep doing all those things that you do. Keep making audio drama. Hasta la vista.